this defeat in Britain's upper house of parliament, it's come as a bit of a blow to the UK Prime Minister. She was obviously hoping that this would pass, but just how significant is it in terms of delaying the UK's departure from the EU?
In terms of a delay, I think it's a nuisance more than a delay. It means that the Prime Minister has to consider, supposedly, or that, sorry, the House of Commons has to consider the amendment and then send it back to the House of Lords again. But ultimately, the House of Commons has the right to push this bill through without any further intervention from the House of Lords because of the Parliament Act, which was first passed in 1911, was amended in 1949, and which then gives the House of Commons, any bill originating in the House of Commons, the ultimate right to push through a bill.
Well, it has been...
I think inevitably this bill will go through, and probably in the next couple of weeks. I don't think it will delay it considerably.
It has been something of a complicated process, though, and it was always going to be a complicated process, actually cutting ties with the European Union. Prime Minister Theresa May, she said that she wants to guarantee EU citizens' rights, but has not been prepared to do so until other member states agree to a reciprocal deal. What are the indications on that one happening?
I think that it's a very complex set of signalling which they're making. And ultimately, I think the thing that Theresa May wants to do and David Davis is to keep this as a bargaining chip. So they don't want to be held to a timetable that Parliament sets for them because they want to be able to hold it as a threat over the European Union. There's nowhere near as many overseas people in UK people in the rest of Europe as there are in there's over 3 million European residents in the UK at the moment. So it's a good bargaining chip for Theresa May to have and to try and push hard to get an outcome that she wants. I think that the challenge that she faces is that the House of Lords exposed quite clearly the moral dilemma of doing that, of holding 3 million people's lives to ransom over a negotiation, which I think in the 21st century is completely unacceptable. I think most people recognise that. So it's a real challenge that she faces. I don't think she really wants to hold to ransom, but she wants to keep it as a bargaining chip, and that's a challenge for her.
Well, it probably is quite difficult, I would imagine, appealing to voters, thinking of their inevitable need for re-election as well. This was not necessarily a very popular decision, as it was a decision that caught a lot of people by surprise, and this has been a bit of a thorn in a lot of voters' sides. They're worrying about their ability to travel freely throughout Europe now being dismissed by this sort of cutting of ties. There are a lot of issues, I would imagine, floating around for voters that this necessarily wouldn't play well with.
Well, yeah, but this, I think this also goes to the nub of the problem that led to Brexit, which is that there were significant parts of the UK that didn't like the immigration from other parts of Europe, particularly Central and Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, those were the places that were least affected by the immigration from those same countries. So the bulk of people from Poland, which is the largest, by far the largest number of European nationals living in the UK at the moment, nearly a million, well, probably about 900,000, I think, at the last count. The bulk of those are living in the urban areas, contributing significantly to the economies of those urban areas, working in all sorts of jobs. People sort of have a sense of this invasion of Europe, of Central and Eastern Europe into the UK, which doesn't really play out in their daily lives. But nevertheless, this is the real issue that I think Brexit was all about, was this sense that there were, for want of a better expression, foreigners with different cultures coming in and changing the essence of suburban England.
So if Theresa May is holding on to this bargaining chip for the time being, what is a reciprocal deal likely to look like?
I think that's really quite fascinating because the bulk of European nationals living in the UK are largely younger people and families who are economically active. There aren't that many people who've retired to the UK. There are a lot of UK nationals working in Europe as well, but there's also a significant rump of UK nationals who have retired to parts of Spain, France, Italy, and so on. who are very concerned about what this will mean for them. And that's the challenge of the negotiation, I think, because even though there is a debate around whether European nationals in the UK are receiving significant benefits in terms of access to National Health Service and so on in the UK, the reality is that many of the people, UK residents overseas, get far better services from their European counterparts than because they're not so economically active. In many cases, there's plenty of economically active people in the main cities from the UK as well. But so I'm not quite sure how this will play out, but I think it is a significant challenge for negotiating because it's about protecting the rights of retired people in Europe, UK citizens who are resident in other parts of Europe, rather than protecting the rights of workers, I think, in those cities in Europe.
And just perhaps as a final point, Lawrence, are there any other sort of, well, as we say, this is a very complicated cutting of ties. Are there any other deals at the moment which are causing issues for the UK government in cutting ties?
There's all sorts of, I think there's a lot of things that are below the radar here, which around the way in which financial services will operate and so on. The financial services in London need significant access to the European markets and are busy negotiating that. But these are the sorts of things which, quite sensibly, the lobby groups are keeping below the radar because they are in some respects more important to the UK economy than this debate around EU nationals living in the UK. There's a long list of things that are going on. There is the issue, the big issue I think that's being ignored at the moment is the extent to which the UK can benefit from the single market or a customs union and yet still be able to negotiate separately. And I think the reality is that the UK will have to drop out of the customs union, which will mean it'll have to, in the course of the next 2 years, negotiate its own trade agreements with every other country in the world.
Well,
that's a massive challenge for the UK. It hasn't had to do that for 40 years, so it hasn't got the expertise, it hasn't got the capacity. It'll have to build it very quickly.
It is fascinating times looking over there at the situation in the United Kingdom. We'll leave it there, but Lawrence, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure. Speak to you again sometime.